We've been talking about trusting the Lord, trusting Him as the one who is in control and the one who loves us. One of the things we haven't dealt with yet is this rather personal question: are you trusting God for who you are? Psalm 139, verses 13 and 16, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Thine eyes did see my substance when being unperfect, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." How you were fashioned in the womb, how you were made in the womb. Do you remember perhaps back as a child, maybe right around your junior high age, when you felt ashamed of what you couldn't do or ashamed of how you looked? When you look in a mirror today, are there some unchangeable things about you that you wish were different? If there was this magical button to press and you could be transformed into Miss America or Mr. America or Mr. Universe, would you press that button? Have you ever complained to God, complained to others, perhaps complained even to yourself about your heritage, your race, your parents, your time in history, your sex, your coloring, hair, eyes, skin, your height and structure, or where you are on the economic level? These are problems of accepting yourself as God made you. It is a problem of trusting God. It's as though you said, if God made me and I look like this, how can I trust Him with anything else? Psalm 139, 13 to 16 has some important and helpful things to say about this sin, lacking in trust of God. Let's recognize then that God made me who I am. We are who we are, not because of some impersonal cosmic biological process, but because God Himself made us this way. Psalm 139, 13. "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." The word possessed is used in Genesis 14:19, "and blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." This word possessor, then referring to God here, refers to God's possession by right of creation. So God has possessed your reins. Now, reins is literally kidneys, which was used by the Jews to express the seat of emotions. I love you with all my kidneys. I don't know, it just loses something in the translation, doesn't it? So it is as if David is saying, you possessed the seat of my emotions. You created my personality. Then he says, you covered me in my mother's womb. This is the word Sakak. Part of its root meaning is to weave together. Isn't that an interesting picture? There you are in the womb, and he's weaving you together. Isaiah 9:11, "Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of reason against him and join his enemies together." Join together is this word. So as the enemies were joined together against reason, so you were joined together in the womb by God. One translation said it this way: "You knit me together in my mother's womb." God so superintended the biological process of birth that He is directly involved in fashioning each one of us. Reverend James Hufstetler said in Banner of Truth, January 1987, You are the result of the attentive, careful, thoughtful, intimate, detailed, creative work of God. Your personality, your sex, your height, your features are what they are because God made them precisely that way. He made you the way He did because that is the way He wants you to be. If God had wanted you to be basically and creatively different, He would have made you differently. Your genes and chromosomes and creaturely distinctives, even the shape of your nose and ears, are what they are by God's design. So you recognize that if that is true, and it is, then to hold that as a mistake is a gross mistrust of God. Job 10:8-11. Thine hands have made me. The King James margin says here the Hebrew is took pains about me. And fashioned me together round about. Yet thou dost destroy me, Job complains. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into dust again? Hast thou not poured me out as milk and curdled me like cheese? Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh, and hast fenced or hedged me with bones and sinews. So in the midst of saying, you made me, what are you going to do, just tear me up now? He reaffirmed the fact that he was made by God and in all the parts, flesh and bones. Psalm 119, verse 73, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding and so on. Jeremiah 1:5, God says to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. You see, yes, the mother forms you in the womb, but God is superintending the whole thing. God says, I formed thee in the belly, and before that I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Psalm 139:14, I will praise thee, and here's our proper attitude, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I see what you have done with me, and I praise you for it. I am fearfully, wonderfully made. David praised God because God made him. This is the believer's foundation for self-acceptance. This is not the same as the modern doctrine of self-love, having a positive self-image. These things are condemned in Scripture. The Bible doctrine of self-acceptance teaches us to think like George MacDonald, who said, I would rather be what God chose to make me than the most glorious creature that I could think of. For to have been thought about, born in God's thought, then made by God, is the dearest, grandest, and most precious thing in all thinking. You think you can come up with a better idea than God did? Even with all our so-called handicaps and disabilities, we ought to accept God's sovereign plan for us. You say, well, you're blaming him for handicaps? Well, God took credit for it. Exodus 4:11. Moses has just said, I can't speak very well. The Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, people that can't speak at all? Or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Jesus said of the man born blind, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He's blind because God intended it so. So let me ask you some questions. Are you willing to accept God's plan? Are you willing to allow God to make you with all your problems, that the works of God should be made manifest in you? Or will you resent God and be jealous of others that you consider to be better than you? Well, understand that such resentment and jealousy limits your ability to love others and certainly limits your ability to trust God in every other area of your life. I want you to think about trusting God for what I am. And that's you saying it. Trusting God for what I am. You don't have to trust God for what I am, but for what you are. When we put together the two truths, that God made us precisely as He wanted to make us, and that God has given us a ministry to fulfill, we realize He has made us uniquely to fulfill His plan for us. You know, a tractor is not made for office work. It could probably work as a paper shredder. I'm just saying it's not made for that. A word processor is not made for plowing a field. The ministry God wants us to do was determined before we were born. In the verse we quoted above from Jeremiah, he was told his office as prophet was chosen before he came from the womb. God's outside of time. He sees it all. It's a fact with him. Paul said of himself, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace." You are a unique collection of strengths and weaknesses. And that exact collection makes us exactly fitted for the job God intends. Now, trusting God for guidance. We are sometimes caught up in the struggle to find God's will for our lives. And that's certainly important as we come to those crossroads of life where decisions need to be made. Generally, however, that's not an important thing. We do not need to make the decisions or find God's will. Generally, God leads us where He wants us to go. You concern yourself with being the person God wants you to be. You concern yourself with doing what He's put in front of you to do, being faithful in your job, being faithful to your family. You're concerned with those things. And as you do that, God just brings you to a place, another situation, and so on. Listen to David. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." There's no picture here of a revelation, I should go to the still waters. He just going where he was going, and like a lamb, he was led there. "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake." I noticed in the book of Acts, the disciples sought the will of God. What should we do in choosing Matthias to replace Judas? They didn't know who it was they should choose. So they had some candidates there, and they asked for God's choice. But you know what happened after that? They didn't say, "And now let's draw straws to see where we should go from the upper room." They didn't say, "Let's find out who should preach, who should have the opportunity." They just went about their business. They simply followed the guidance of God. They were involved in the work He called them to do. Be busy about what you know He wants you to do, and He will lead you into the next step. Sometimes with those early disciples, He gave them specific orders. Sometimes He prevented them from fulfilling their plans. But God's plans are not waiting to see what we will do. His will is not contingent on us. Let me give you the words of blind Fanny Crosby, who wrote, "All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside?" Maybe sight? No, she said, "He's leading me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know, whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well." There's faith and trust in God for who you are.